in trouble.
It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined by two ESPN NBA reporters, Nick Friedel and Malika Andrews. They're going to both be covering Bucks versus Warriors, which is on ESPN on Friday night at 9:30 Eastern with a very lively Milwaukee crowd, I presume. So the Bucks, not that everybody doesn't, but the Bucks really do take the Warriors seriously. A couple years ago, they were the first to beat the Warriors in their undefeated season. A few weeks ago, they went into Golden State and just clobbered the Warriors. I know Draymond Green was out, but it's still felt a little bit like a statement. Nick, you're with the Warriors day in, day out. Are they going to see this game as more important than the typical regular season game, given the last few years of history between these teams?
No. I know that there are a lot of Bucks fans like yourself, Ryan, who want to believe that this is a finals preview, and it may be. And the Warriors will be all amped to play. But the reality is the Warriors will be ready because Steph is back and they're enjoying the fact that they're finding a rhythm again. But I haven't gotten the sense that they care that much about the regular season. They know that they're in it to win a title. They know that they have the talent to do it. And as far as another game at the beginning of December, they're not going to be amped up to go knock out Milwaukee. They know that it's all that matters is the end, and they'll be ready when it counts.
Malika, do you have any sense of exactly what's going on with Chris Middleton? He got benched for a long stretch against the Suns a couple weeks ago. He got benched against the Knicks a couple days ago. He was out last night. We're taping this on a Thursday with for personal reasons. There's kind of trade rumors flurrying around. Do you get any sense of what's going on with him and Mike Budenholzer?
Budenholzer has kind of said that yesterday's him not being around yesterday is unrelated to the tension that was going on a couple of weeks ago. And so I asked Bud if he thinks that Chris will be able to rejoin the team for Friday's game against Golden State. He said it would be unfair to say at this time yesterday when I asked him. So that's kind of where they stand. I've been told that the personal reasons are unrelated to what was going on with him a couple of weeks ago. But it will be a question. I mean, especially if he's still on this team by the end of the season, whether or not they're going to be able to pay him or pay Eric Bledsoe, because it's not very likely they're going to be able to keep both.
If they have to choose one, gun to your head right now, what do you think they choose?
I would say Middleton, but you know, it could go either way. Eric has been a really important piece of this team, and he really showed that last night in Middleton's absence. You know, he was passing the thon maker on breakaways when he could have taken it for himself. You know, he put up an impressive stat line, so I do think he is integral to this team.
Interesting. So you've been to the Fiserv Forum a bunch. I'm not sure how much you had been to the Bradley Center before that because you were on a different beat before. But isn't like the energy in that arena just like especially vibrant early in the season?
I think that they would love to put a few more butts in seats. But the arena is beautiful. The food there is fantastic. And I mean, it has all of these kind of quirky, cool amenities that are very interesting to see that I enjoy going to see this new arena. But it's definitely been interesting to watch this. I mean, Milwaukee Wisconsin is Packers town. And so even though the Bucks are good, it's been kind of interesting to watch the way the fan base has treated them, the way that they've embraced them, the lack of ways in which they've embraced them, just because this isn't historically, this has never been a really huge basketball city.
Well, I think it was a long time ago, but they had a very long stretch of not really exciting teams. Nick, the Warriors seem to be mostly past the Durant-Draymond dust-up of a couple weeks ago. Obviously, it could flare up again, but the comments that Durant gave to Bleacher Report yesterday basically saying that it doesn't sound like he would want to go play with LeBron in L.A., that's got to diffuse a lot of this, right?
I think so, but Ryan, I think the key, as far as the Warriors are concerned, is they really don't know what Kevin's going to do. And there were people before the season within the organization that thought he might leave. So I know that the dust up between KD and Draymond got a ton of attention, as it should, with a team that's won back-to-back titles. But whether he goes to the Lakers, the Knicks, somewhere else, whether he stays, they just don't know. And they got to let it play out. There was definitely attention on some of the comments he made in Rick's story. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, they got through the mess of the last couple weeks. They got Steph back. They're going to get Draymond back soon. Draymond and KD, even in the last few days, I've seen them have conversations in the locker room. They're laughing and cracking up. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Kevin knows what he wants to do right now, and they're just going to try to win again and see where the cards fall after that.
Do you have any sense of when DeMarcus Cousins is going to return and how you think that they'll fit him in?
I think he's trying to get back sooner than everybody thought, which was probably February or March in the beginning. I know that Steve Kerr has said in the last few days even that he's happy with the progress that he's making, but they've been very clear in not putting a target date on it, because when you're coming back off an Achilles injury, you just don't know how a guy's going to feel day to day. I would think at some point after the first of the year, he might ramp it up a little more than we've seen now. But, you know, Damian Jones, who was a Warriors starting center throughout most of this year, he just tore his pec muscle and he's probably done for the season. So in the back of their minds, they'd love to have him back. But how he fits, I was just talking to Sean Livingston about that the other day, and he said, I think he's going to fit fine, but it's going to take time for everybody to readjust to his game and his game to readjust to what the Warriors already have in place. So it's going to be an interesting chemistry experiment to put Boogie back on the floor. But when you have that kind of talent, talent always finds a way to work itself out, especially within the foundation of a group like the Warriors.
As we'll get to in a bit, Nick covered the Bulls for years and years, and now Malika's on the beat that includes the Bucks, the Bulls, the Timberwolves, the Pistons, a little bit the Pacers. Malika, what was your take on the Bulls firing Hoiberg this week before Markkanen came back healthy?
You know, I think that I think that John Paxson, I think that he wanted to turn over a new leaf before this team got fully healthy. The way he described it is that they have a lack of what he's calling competitive spirit. And if they had given Fred the chance to coach these with his full team, with Lowry back, with Chris Dunn back, with Bobby Portis back, which looks like that's going to happen in the next, you know, two-ish weeks. John says that would have masked the problem of them lacking competitive spirit. And so that is their official rationale for why it had to happen now and it couldn't wait until the end of the season. That being said, I think, you know, Fred knew the writing on the wall coming into the season, and he was put in a pretty tough position Pax would say on the other side of that, you should be able to coach anybody into winning, which it's tough when Cameron Payne is your starting point guard. Like, that is a tough situation to win in. But that's kind of what shook out with the Bulls this week. You know, the guys were kind of saying, Fred is a really great person. We really like him. We respect him. But now we have to move forward because we still have a job to do.
Nick, does the Legion of Bulls fans who wants Garpax just out of town with Hoiberg, do you think that they have a reasonable contention?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely, Ryan.
So that's the hard question for you.
Yeah, nobody in the NBA these days gets to hire 5-6 coaches as this regime has. I'd say this. In being around both those guys for so many years, they both want to win. Mm-hmm. But just because you want to win and your heart may be in the right place, if you keep making the wrong decisions, you know, the only organization that would allow the front office as it stands now to remain in place after all these years and after the lack of success, certainly in the last few years, is this Bulls organization with the Reinsdorfs at the top. And for all the fans that say, fire Garpax, the only thing that will get the Bulls' attention is if the season ticket holder base diminishes in a serious way, because that's where the major money is. Mm-hmm. And if people stop showing up and stop paying the money, then that will get their attention. Up to that point, Jerry Reinsdorf, Michael Reinsdorf, they believe in continuity. They believe in keeping their people in place for a long time. And I just don't see any changes on the horizon as far as the front office goes at this point.
It's crazy that they have this kind of lifetime pass.
I don't know if it's, crazy potentially, but I also think, Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf have a kind of unwavering faith and personal like for this front office. And so when you have that sort of relationship with the ownership of a team, that gives you a kind of job security that's rare.
I guess
the key with Pax, Ryan, is he's been around for so long.
Yep.
And he has such a close relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf that I think the what will be interesting in the year or years to come will be if the Reinsdorfs finally decide that Gar and Pax aren't the right fit, would they reassign Pax at some other point or place within the organization? With Gar, he's got a closer relationship with Michael, Jerry's son, but the reality is he was supposed to be the guy who found the players in the draft, and he had success, 9-10 years ago with Taj Gibson, with Jimmy Butler at the back end of the first round. And now it seems they've hit on Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., but there really are a lot of misses in between. And Fred Hoiberg, while he had support throughout the organization, was Gar Foreman's guy. Gar believed that Fred was going to lead the Bulls to a title. It didn't happen. Is not in a good place right now. So I am very curious if they decide to make a move moving forward at some point, what would happen to Pax within the framework of the organization and what would happen to Gar within the league.
Both conferences right now have like a massive logjam at the top. I was looking at the standings today. The Nuggets are first in the West and Oklahoma City's too. But Malika, I wanted to ask you about the East. If you had to guess right now what the Eastern Conference Finals matchup would be, what do you think it'll be?
You have to say Toronto's. If we were taking it today, Toronto Bucks. I think those two teams have really been exceptional and consistent. And I think that consistency and depth as you get farther and farther into the season is absolutely key. With the Bucks, you see that even without two of their kind of their stars, Ilyasova and Middleton, two pieces that are integral to Bud's kind of five out spacing they're still able to win, and they're able to win handily. And then you look over to Toronto, and it's like Kawhi's putting up ridiculous numbers. Lowry's playing pretty well. I think those two are the last two standing at the end.
Nick, as you look at the West, who do you think is the team that can most likely beat the Warriors in a seven-game series, as unlikely as that may be?
I don't see it happening. I don't see, Ryan, any team being able to knock off a healthy Warriors squad.
Yeah.
If somebody gets hurt, you know, if Steph goes down again or something else happens, then maybe. But, you know, we could kind of throw up some choices at the dartboard here. Oklahoma City, they've been playing pretty well of late. Paul George and Russ, okay. But truly, as I've watched the West, so long as Golden State stays healthy and they don't have any more huge issues internally, I don't see any team coming that close to them on their path back to the finals.
One more quick basketball question for you, Nick. Joakim Noah made his return to Memphis last night. He played 12 minutes and like gave them a really big spark of energy. Is it possible that he could be a useful player this season? And it was just like the fact that everybody who goes to the Knicks somehow gets damaged, but that he could have some type of like mini comeback?
It's possible. And I think Memphis is a really good place for him, Ryan, because it's a smaller market. They have an identity. Back in the days of the grit and grind teams with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. But I think for Joakim, he wants to prove so desperately that he still belongs in the league. And his body had started to break down a little bit. I think his head, after leaving Chicago, signing that big deal in New York and not playing the way he would have liked and not having that ending that he had hoped, his head wasn't in a good place. So he's been away from the game. He's gotten his body right. I think he's in a much better mindset than he's been. And, yeah, as a guy off the bench who can give you 10, 15 minutes a night, he could help that group. And I know that there are a lot of people around the league that are cheering for him after he had such a really sad run, short run with the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. And I love him on the Grizzlies because they're just such a like scrappy bunch of players. I wanted to transition and talk to both of you about your career trajectories. Both of you, like, I don't think could have seen exactly where you are right now as recently as a year or even 6 months ago. Nick, like, I hope I'm not like revealing too much, but a year ago, you were not 1,000% certain that you would even be at ESPN, let alone being on what I think is really the premier beat in the NBA. And then a year ago for Malika, that was two jobs ago. So Malika, could you go first and talk about what your last year has been like getting to ESPN? And then Nick, talk about making the transition from the Bulls to the Midwestern beat to the Warriors.
The last year has been sort of a whirlwind. You know, I was at the New York Times, and then I took a job at the Chicago Tribune covering the Bulls, and I had fantastic editors and coworkers in both places that I think made me better and put me in a position for my work to be noticed by Christina Daglis, the editor, the NBA editor at ESPN. And, you know, Christina was gracious enough to see something in me and bring me onto the team at ESPN. And it's been fantastic to be here, kind of taking over the Midwest beat. And, you know, Nick and I were good friends before I kind of took over what was his beat and he moved west. And so he was sort of able to give me a sneak peek inside what I was going to be experiencing and seeing. And we had lots of, you know, we have lots of burgers and seafood at Joe's and discuss the way.
And Dick's.
And Dick's. Can't forget about Dick's. At, you know, random hours of the day to discuss what's going to happen and where are we going to be and how is this going to out. So that's kind of how this has played out for me.
And Nick?
I think for me, Ryan, I had become so ingrained in the Bulls. And part of that, obviously, is writing for ESPN Chicago for all those years and covering that Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah team that so many people within the city loved. And part of it was the radio work that I did at ESPN 1000. That is still a big thing for a lot of fans within Chicago is listening to the radio station and being part of kind of a family within knowing hosts and knowing who's going to be on at certain times of the day. But, you know, if I've learned anything in the last few years, and Malik and I have talked a lot about this over the last few months, you need to be around relevant teams and or relevant players.
Right.
And the thing I struggled with in the last couple of years was that, especially after the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler on a national stage and even locally in Chicago, they had really become irrelevant. So I made it clear to Christina, who Malika mentioned earlier, and some of the other people in Bristol, I would love to have another challenge and kind of try something else out. And so I went last year from the Bulls to covering a bunch of the Midwest teams. And then it became not just the Midwest teams, but wherever there was kind of a hole where there wasn't a beat writer already in place. And then when Chris Haynes left a couple months ago to go to Yahoo, they called and they said, hey, would you like to do this? And on top of the challenge and the fun, and it's been covering the Warriors, which has been
in the warm weather,
right? The weather as a Florida boy who grew up in Orlando, 10 years in Chicago, I was ready for another challenge professionally, and I was ready for some warm weather personally. But
it's been a special cold here, by the way, too. As you know, I live in Chicago, and the month of November felt like the month of December, and thus far, the month of December has felt like the month of January.
I've been hearing, but all that aside, I love being able to write. It's been a passion of mine for a long, long time, and I've really enjoyed the television work, and being around a team like the Warriors, and having closer access to Los Angeles, and Rachel's show. I mean, Rachel's been a big supporter of mine and has helped me get on the jump much more, she and her staff. So all of those things led me to the point where I am. And it's really been an awesome experience the first couple months here. It reminds me, Ryan, covering the Warriors and all the drama of the last few weeks and all the star power with Steph and KD and Draymond, it reminds me of covering the Bulls, and obviously that was on a lesser level, but I mean, you've been in Chicago, that Bulls team with Derrick Rose when he was the MVP, the team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals, they just burst on the scene, and that's fun. The Warriors have been on the scene for a while, but the amount of interest in them on a daily basis is pretty incredible.
Last year in like 2017, you went to something like 300 basketball games or something ridiculous. Did you ever count and find out how many you went to?
Once I got past like 100, I just kind of stopped. I would wake up some days in these hotels, and this happens to every NBA reporter, no matter what team or teams you cover, but I would wake up and I'd be like, where the hell am I? And those last couple of years when I was bouncing around the league, yeah, and I was mixing in a couple college games here and there, what I would tell anybody who is listening to us, who's trying to break into the profession, or you're in college trying to figure it out, you better have a passion not only for sports, or in this case, basketball, but you better understand that it can be isolating at times,
yeah,
and you're pulling into these hotels and in some of these cities and you're going, what the hell is going on? So no, I never had a complete number on just how many games I was at, but that passion is still there. Despite the crazy hours and the stuff that we have to do day to day sometimes. I love the job. I really do love the job, and to be able to be on the stage and the platforms of ESPN, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that for where we're at in this field.
To Nick's point, Malika, since the NBA season started, what's the most nights in a row you've spent in one town?
Nights in a row I've spent in one town. Gosh, I don't even know. At one point, I had been on the road like 18 of the past like 22 days or something like that. So, it can't be many. I mean, I think there's been probably a stretch where I get 4 days or 5 days in one place, but that's few and far between, and that's probably max. But I think I'm averaging like 4 games a week or something like that. But I mean, it's fun. Like, it's fun to say, oh, I've been slogging, but really, really, we like saying that. Really, like, really, it's like, oh, man, I've been at 4 games this week, but on the inside, it's like, yes, I've been at 4 games this week.
I feel like you guys don't even really get an off season anymore, because the free agency is crazy for like a month, and then it's the draft, and then it's summer league, and then all of a sudden, like, the season is starting almost a month earlier than it used to. Like, do you guys get even like 2 weeks where you don't have to work?
Ryan, you get kind of second week of August to first week in September, and that's when you need to leave the country, turn your phone off, and just be. And then you come back the second week in September ready to go again.
There aren't many days off.
Is there anything I didn't ask you guys about either this season with the teams you're covering, or the travel, or the job that you want to touch on right now?
I think, I mean, ESPN it's a special place. And I think people, you know, oftentimes think of ESPN as this mammoth company, which it is. But the NBA team within that gigantic company is sort of small but mighty compared to most other sports teams. And I think for me, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm young. And I think for me, it's been coming in to this group, like they say, you know, welcome to the ESPN family. I can't speak for any other sector, but the NBA group is like a family. Like, when I decided that I was going to come to ESPN, it was like I had all of these people within the NBA group at ESPN who were reaching out to me, asking me what I could do. You know, like I said, Nick and I, you know, almost every day of the week we'd be getting together and talking about, you know, how you're doing, what's going on here. So it is a grind, and it's super challenging, but this is a really tight-knit group that makes it all the easier to be able to kind of get through those sorts of, like, long seasons that bleed into the off-season, like you were saying.
Nick, anything else with you to leave off on?
I echo everything that Malika said. The thing that I keep coming back to after all this time, because I was in Chicago about 10 years, and I've been with the Warriors now 6-7 weeks. And even after all the hours and the work we put in, I am still a diehard sports fan at my core. I mean, I am still that kid. I grew up humming the Sports Center theme song when I was going to school in kindergarten. And I'm 35, and I'm still flipping on the SVP show every night. I mean, I love sports just as much now as I did when I was 6-7 years old. And to be able to not only work for ESPN, but be able to be in this industry on a daily basis, it's not something I take for granted. I know the people that we know within the industry that really enjoy their job and are good at their job. A lot of them feel the same way, because there aren't that many spots, and there are a ton of people
that would take over our job in a heartbeat. And to be in this spot, in this moment, is pretty cool.
Cool. Thank you guys very much for your time. Enjoy your travels. Hopefully we can do this three-person pod again, maybe as we approach the playoffs or get into the playoffs. Thank you again. That's Nick Friedel, Malika Andrews. Catch Bucks Warriors on ESPN at 9:30 Eastern on Friday night, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Such turn straight.